he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall live secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. As we stand before the miracle and mystery and majesty of Christmas, as we stand before this time when we celebrate the coming of God to be with us, we are filled with a sense of expectation, a sense of wonder, a sense of excitement. I know when I was a child, today was a magic day, a day of extreme excitement. There were presents under the tree. All the decorations were up and blinking. There was wonderful goodies and sweets to eat. It was an exciting time. Your grandparents would come and granddad would give you a whole $20. Of course, you had to kiss your grandmother, too, to get it. And Grandmother May was rather rotund, and she always wanted to kiss you, and she always left these brands all over your face. It was an exciting, magical time, and an exciting time wondering what was in those presents, except for that year that my brother and I snuck into Mom and Dad's closet and found out what was in those presents. Boy, we caught heck for that, I'm going to tell you. It was an exciting, magical time. Exciting because of what we were about to receive. Exciting over the mystery of what was going to be there just the next morning. And we used to celebrate the countdown in the days of December, from December the 1st to December the 25th, with this strip of felt material that Mother had made for my brother and I. And there was a button for every day of December from the 1st through the 24th. And at the bottom there was a little bell. And we would take a button off each night before we'd go to bed. And when we would get to December the 24th, we'd come back from Christmas Eve services and we'd have to get ready for bed because, as Dad would say, that NORAD picked up Santa's sleigh on radar and we better get to bed. And so we would go and we'd get ready for bed and we'd take the final button off of the strip and we would then ring the bell in excitement that Christmas was here. It was a magical time, an exciting time. I wish with all my heart, I wish with all my spirit, with all my soul, I wish that people in the world today would have such excitement, such expectation, such wonder, such marvelous joy in accepting and receiving the Lord God, creator of the universe, who is coming. Amen. We get focused in on the wrong things. We get focused in on the stuff of Christmas. The shopping. Have you ever been to the mall? The town East Mall in December? You can't get in, and if you get in, you can't get out. It's a nightmare. I sometimes go to other malls. I'll drive three times as far to go and do some shopping. And then it's insane. Sometimes you feel like you have to have a machete to get through all the people. Get out of the way. And the people, I mean, you hear this Christmas music playing. Jingle bells, Santa Claus is coming to town. All the secular Christmas music playing on the Muzak from store to store to store. Rarely do you hear a real Christian Christmas carol. And with all of this wonderful holiday spirit and all of this wonderful holiday music and all of this wonderful holiday decorations everywhere, people are, I got to get that toy. I got to get that tie. I got to get that jacket. I got to get that whatever. Bah humbug. Bah humbug indeed. Bah humbug. Grinches running around. Scrooges running around acting insane. My friends, we get sidetracked this time of year so easily with the stuff of Christmas. The stuff, the junk of Christmas, that we miss the important message that this season is about He who will come and give Himself on this cross. On the cross for our sins, He will die. We get so caught up in the junk of secular Christmas that we fail to remember that we celebrate the incarnation, the conception of our Savior and His birth now over 2,000 years ago. We get so caught up in the junk that we fail to remember why we celebrate this time of year. Indeed, we could celebrate any time of year. Historically, we know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. He wasn't. We celebrate His incarnation because in likelihood, He was conceived this time of year. He was born probably in September. And we celebrate now, I'll give you a little history lesson. Why do we celebrate Christmas on December the 24th and 25th? Very simple reason. There used to be a party this time of year for the winter solstice. There was a party for the birthday of Saturn in Rome. And they couldn't stop the party. The early church couldn't get its members to stop having a great big party this time of year. And so they said, well, we don't celebrate the birth of Jesus, so let's celebrate His birth here and take the party and purify it and Christianize it. And so they established Christmas at this time of year, the celebration of the birth of Jesus at this time of year. We could celebrate it, and we should celebrate it, frankly, every day. Amen. That the presence of God comes to live with us and within us, and that we are called to share the presence of God, the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with all whom we meet, not just on December the 25th, not just in April or late March at Easter, but every single day. Not just on Sundays, but every single day. We're called to celebrate the incarnation. That's a really big word, incarnation. What it means is God becoming man. God becoming one of us. God sending His Son to become human. He becomes incarnate in flesh, made present in human flesh. That's what we celebrate. That's what we are celebrating here in this church today, tonight, tomorrow, and prayerfully every day, that God was in Christ coming into this world to proclaim the good news, and that good news involves the cross. That good news isn't good news unless He who comes into this world delivers us from this world. And He does that on the cross. Let's take a look at what we have today in Micah. And He shall stand and feed His flock in the strength of the Lord. He shall stand and feed his flock. This child to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, this coming Messiah, will stand and feed his flock. The word feed here means pasture. It means shepherd. It means care for. It means fill up. It means guide and protect. He shall stand and feed, shepherd, pasture, his flock. We have a Messiah, a coming Savior, who stands as to defend and feeds his flock. He's not there just to make demands on us. He comes to give everything, to give himself to us, so that we can give Christ Jesus to others. He comes to stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord. Oz. I'm not talking about a wizard, friends, or a town that Dorothy was going to. Oz. The Hebrew word used here for strong, mighty, fierce, strength. In the Oz, the strength. It even sounds like a strong word. The Oz of Yahweh, the Lord. In the strength of the Lord. He comes to feed us. Who here likes fruitcake? Wow. There are actually people who like to eat fruitcake. I didn't ask you if you like to eat it. You like to eat fruitcake? I thought it was a doorstop. The eternal present that goes from Christmas to Christmas to Christmas. You actually eat it? I'll have to try it sometime. There's not very few things that I won't eat, but I've avoided fruitcake in the past. I'll have to try some fruitcake someday. He's not feeding us with fruitcake. He's not feeding us with fudge. I never met a chocolate I didn't like, friends. But Jesus is better than chocolate. He's not feeding us with chocolate chip cookies. He's not feeding us with gingerbread men. He's not feeding us with sand tarts. He's not feeding us with pecan pie. That's pecan, not pecan. That's pecan. He's not feeding us with apple pie. He's not feeding us with pound cake. Am I making you hungry? Good. Good. He's not feeding us with the stuff of this world, even the good sweets of this world. He's feeding us with something better, with the strength, with the mighty, with the powerful majesty of God. He comes to feed us, to shepherd us, to pasture us, to care for us, to lead us and guide us in the strength of Yahweh. And not just any old strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh his God. The majesty of the name of the Lord his God. The word here is a wonderful Hebrew word, gaon. It means exaltation, majesty, excellence. I love that last word, excellence. In the let's retranslate that. In the excellence of the name of the Lord his God. He comes to feed us in the strength of Yahweh. In the excellence of the name of the Lord his God. What is the excellence, the majesty of the name of Yahweh? The word is a simple word in Hebrew. It means literally, I am. I am the one who is and who cannot not be. That's an interesting phrase in English. The one who is and who cannot not be. God's personal name means literally, I am. And there's nothing about me that is that cannot not be. I am and I will be known. So it's not just that I exist, but I exist and you're going to know me. I exist and you will come to know me. I exist and you shall know me. And it is in the excellence of that name that Jesus feeds us, that Jesus pastures us, that Jesus cares for us. Indeed, his name, Yeshua, as we said the other week, his name means Yahweh saves. He comes to pasture us, to feed us, to shelter us, to guide us, to care for us with the excellence of the name of Yahweh, the majesty of the name of Yahweh, saying, I will indeed care for and be known in and through you. Are you taking Yahweh, taking God, taking Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit? Are you taking God and sharing him with others? Or are you hiding him? When people look at you, do they know who and what you are and what you do? I was sitting on an airplane, and the guy sitting to my left was looking over my shoulder. He's being nosy, looking at my laptop screen as I was working on my sermon. And he was literally reading it over my shoulder. You know anything about airplanes? You're sitting there, you know, kind of. They make those airplane seats about 2 inches narrower than any average human's rear end. All right? So you're sitting there wedged into. Used to be, I couldn't fit in the seats, friends. I had to have the armrest up because part of me was slopping over into the seat next to me. Ooh, I know that sounds awful, doesn't it? But that was true. Today, underneath this surplus, I am wearing a cassock, black close-fitting robe that I haven't been able to wear since 1994. That's a lot of time, friends. Thank you. Those seats are uncomfortable now for me. I used to have an extender. I couldn't belt myself in. I was so big. So, I mean, I'm sitting in, scrunched into this seat with my laptop out. The guy in front of me, thankfully, was kind enough not to put his chair back. Otherwise, I would have been lost. And I'm sitting there typing away, working on my sermon. And he's sitting next to me, looking, watching as I'm typing. And he says, he reaches out and sticks his finger out right out the screen and says, what's that? So that's a Hebrew word. What does it mean? It means strong. What does it sound like? Oz. And he goes, oh, what are you, some kind of preacher? And I said, yes. He says, you working on your sermon? Yes. Oh, that's neat. And then he said, I didn't know preachers flew. And I said, if we flap our arms really hard, we can fly. And then we ended up talking for a little while. Yeah, he was a southern boy. I thought you preachers just kind of stood up there and let God feed you what you were going to say. Well, yes, that's the ideal, but you got to be ready to hear what God is going to say to you before you can proclaim it. And so I do a lot of research before my messages. And then he quietly said, this must be a busy time of the year for you. And I said, it is. And he goes, well, I hope it goes good for you on Christmas Eve. And I said, thank you. Are you going to church anywhere? And he kind of looked at me kind of weird. And he says, I wouldn't be welcome in church. I said, why not? Well, I'm a sinner. You don't know what I've done. And I said, there's nothing that you have done that would make you unwelcome in God's house. If you come and repent and ask God to feed you and transform you, there is nothing that can keep you away from the grace of God but your own fear. He kind of looked at me strangely for a bit and he says, you preaching to me? And I said, yes, I am. Well, that's your job. And I said, I'm doing this because you're asking. And he got really quiet for the rest of the flight. And then as we were disembarking the aircraft, he looked at me when we got to the top of the tunnel and he said, maybe I will go to church on Sunday. And I said, do that. Here's my card. And we chatted for just a minute while waiting for our bags to show up. And then as he was leaving, he looked at me kind of strangely and he said, Merry Christmas. Do you show God to others in the things that you do? In the things that you say? It's not just my job, friends. It's the job that we all have. It's not just those of us who wear robes who are called to live and proclaim and share the feeding of Christ with all the world. It's the job of every Christian to share Jesus with everyone they meet. In retrospect, you know, I was inviting him to talk because it was right there on my screen. But where you live every day, are you a screen for others to see Jesus? I've sat on airplanes and listened to my iPod and closed everybody out in the past and not talked to anybody and not shared Jesus with a single person that I've seen. Is that what we do with our lives? Or do we share the joy, the excitement of Christmas, the excitement of He who comes to feed us with the excellence of the name of Yahweh? Do we share Him with others, or do we hide Him and refuse to let His light shine? This is a challenge to us today, friends, and a challenge to us in the year 2007. Will we share the excellence of the name of Yahweh with others, or will we hide it, afraid to let others see the light of Christ? Will we share the excellence of the name of the Lord our God? Will we share Jesus? Or will we hide Him? That's our challenge for 2007. That's the question we are asked here as we approach the end of this calendar year and as we stand before Christmas. Will we share the message of He who comes in human flesh? Jesus. Will we share Him, or will we hide Him? It's up to you. Share Jesus, not just today and tomorrow, not just on Sundays, but every day that you live.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of First United Methodist Church of Sigelville, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 101 South Kaufman Street, Sigelville, Texas, 75159. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.